Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Yeah, he's been really good here recently. He was good on the road trip too. Yeah, his work ethic is off the charts. Highly competitive on pucks. He's been making some plays. Tonight they go in for him, but he's always like top of the list or one of the guys at the top of the list when it comes to competitiveness.
Let's face it, Mark, as we look at this Avalanche season, because the Avalanche have proven that they can win it all, there's an element of, just kind of, you know, be ready to go when it matters most come playoff time. But at least for the here and now, if there's one really key issue to watch, and that is what's going on with your bottom six forwards? What's going on with your forwards on your third and fourth line? Are you getting enough production? Or will there be a necessity for the Avs front office to go out and make moves at some point? And so when you see Logan O'Connor, DU Pioneer, go out and score a couple of goals and continue his good play, as Jared Bednar talked about, that's a big development. That's a big storyline. That's, I think, the storyline to watch with this Avalanche team over the next month or two.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that when some of your guys are out, you know, when your Landeskogs are out and people have to move up, when your, you know, Chewies are out and other people have to move up and step up and do all those things, which is, you know, which is part of the deal. You gain valuable play time, valuable experience, and then, you know, you get to the point where you rise up and you're one of the guys that becomes you know, the dude that takes over. So all those things are really good. Like, this is actually playing out, Mike. I think this is actually playing out. Well, one, it's playing out exactly like you had talked about it playing out. But I think, you know, the added or the ancillary benefit to this thing is you're going to get a lot of development of guys that probably wouldn't get as much playing time, wouldn't be counted on as much. And to watch those guys gain that valuable experience, like, it's just going to make you healthier, fresher, and more experienced when it's, you know, when the games are on the line, when they're important. And so I think all that stuff is really good.
Avalanche continue to be Nashville's daddy, Avs with a 5-3 win over Matt Duchene and crew. Next in Four Down.
Second down.
There's a couple different things. I mean, as a play designer, sometimes you want to get a little creative, and those things can get a little bit verbose. So you don't, you want to have it so it's easier instead of having to call it and then communicate it. There's a whole process from when I give it to him to when he has to process it to when he's got to go in there.
I know that some of our great listeners, we love you all, have thought that we have made too much out of wristband gate this week. But one thing was very clear in listening to Nathaniel Hackett, Justin Outen also spoke yesterday, offensive coordinator. It is clear this offensive coaching staff loves the idea of Russell Wilson wearing a wristband. And if they had had their way, had their druthers, he would have been wearing it a lot earlier in the season. Maybe right from the beginning of the season.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. We got you.
You okay?
Oh, yeah. No, I was getting.
Are you naked?
No, Johnny. No. Johnny was playing something in the background, and when I'm here sometimes, I'm here. When I'm on the road sometimes, when Johnny's working something in the studio, it gets in my ears, and I think it's going over the air, and it wasn't
I'm
going.
Here.
Over, yeah, you didn't hear it, but I heard it.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Mark's, so it's like. Mark's hearing voices
in my head.
Folks, Mark's hearing voices again. It happens every once in a while.
By the way, I'm looking out the window and there's a steady just drizzle. It's gray and cloudy here in Pittsburgh, and this looks like an Anchorage summer day, man.
Anchorage so, summer day.
Yeah, I'm so geeked up, right? Yeah, 55 and rainy. That's Alaska in the summertime. This is great. This is my weather. I'll get a lot of stuff done today.
Really?
Too bad I don't have a yard to work in.
Send me a picture, will you? I'd love to see a picture of rainy, gray Pittsburgh.
Right out of my window here, while I'm sitting here.
I want to make sure it includes the three rivers, the Ohio, the Allegheny, and the Mungahela.
I'm gonna see through the Mahungane. What was it? Mahungane.
I got it right once. I'm not gonna tempt fate again. Next and four down.
Third down.
And to delay a game penalty has to be better communication between myself and what the actual situation is. We thought that we had a first down. The spot was bad, so we were trying to get a look at it. Took a little bit longer up top to get a picture of it. That's where you got to delay a game penalty.
One thing I will give this staff when they come out and talk, they're honest. They're transparent. But right. I don't think they help their case a lot of times. They need to develop a better Belichickian, Foxian type way of saying a lot and not saying anything, because Dwayne Stukes came across as a guy yesterday like, hey, man, what do you want me to do? I know I'm the special teams coach, but I can't herd these guys around like children. So, you know, why should I be held accountable? I mean, that's what it came across as.
Yeah, yeah. Because you are the special teams coach. And bottom line is, if a guy can't show up and be on time and be where he's supposed to be and pay attention to the game and all those kind of things, then that dude shouldn't get to play. I mean, that's my thought process. And sometimes you got to go to the old Jimmy Johnson. You know, it's if Emmitt Smith falls asleep in a meeting, somebody nudge him. If the fourth running back falls asleep in a meeting, I cut him. There's a graduated scale, so to speak, of the scales of justice, right? You know, I mean, and life ain't fair. And so if you are that backup player, sometimes those are the guys you make, you know, the sacrificial lambs you make examples of. And if that's Hinton, then I'm telling you, at some point this staff can't put up with a lack of attention to detail. How about that?
Next and four down.
And, you know, the first.
One, two, three. Fourth down.
I think conceptually we have to be a little bit smarter as far as, you know, looking around the league, you're seeing a lot more zone coverage instead of man coverage. Taking advantage of those situations, have conceptual variety where you can have a man beater and a zone beater at the same time. And, you know, the first and second down portion has a lot to do with that.
Justin Outen laying out how the Broncos can be better on third down. Does that sound like a good game plan to follow?
Yeah,
well, how we just laid it out.
Yeah, I mean that's part of what you do, and that's how, you know, that's how the progressions have kind of changed in the NFL. On one side you've got the man beater, on one side you've got the zone beater. So if you're looking to the right and you're throwing, you know, you're looking for your man beater and you get a zone, if you're looking to the right and it's a zone, then you just flip to the other side instantly. And you know that you've got your zone beater on the opposite side or whatever. So you go back and forth one side to the other side. And theoretically, what it does for you is it gets you through really quickly. It makes it very hard for the pass rush to get to the quarterback. And so that's just kind of a standard operating procedure nowadays. And, you know, in 2x2 or 3x1. And that's what NFL teams, you know, really do. And that's kind of one of the things that has really changed over the years from, you know, just different coordinators and different head coaches that I've talked to.
Got your picture. That does look like a pretty dreary day in Pittsburgh.
You see the river back there?
I do see the river. That's awesome. That looks like
river boats over there.
This is a get stuff done day type weather day for you, huh? I see that. I'm just thinking, nap.
Oh, what a
glorious day to nap.
What I would like to do is I'm heading over to the Steelers facility early, and there's a parade or a marathon or something being in the streets of Pittsburgh. So we actually have to leave a little bit early because the Steelers practice really early. And the bottom line is we've got to kind of circuit like this circuitous route through the city to get to the Steelers facility. And what I'd really like to do is meet with the grounds crew and do some work out there.
Because you're that mode. Because you're that inspired.
Evidence, right. We have evidence of me mowing, being the only player and only former player ever to mow the Broncos practice field.
So you like
got
to,
the evidence.
Now do that for the Steelers.
Now go in and I should just roll right in there. It's like I own the place. I'd be like, excuse me, can we help you? No, I got it.
Well, that means, folks, get ready. This is Mark's last segment of the week, last segment of the show. Is It Just Me Friday? Coming up next.
Yeah.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Enjoy it, folks. Mark's last segment of the day, last segment of the week, before he has to head off to work. Head over to the Pittsburgh Steelers facility this morning, as you'll be calling Steelers-Saints.
Yes.
On Sunday. And don't forget, next Sunday, Mark will be in the booth at Empower Field at Mile High. Broncos Raiders on Fox. Oh, I can't wait for next week.
Oh, yes! Next week is good. Well, it's going to be, what do you talk about, fun, right? We're going to have a phrase that pays. It's going to be awesome.
Real deep dive into the film. Oh, can't wait.
This is so exciting.
Cannot wait. But first and foremost, we need to get a win on Sunday, and we need better special teams play. Can't have delay of games after scores in which the kickoff, you get a delay in which the announcers say, boy, never seen that happen before. And I'm just right. I'm slapping my, palm to my head, forehead. Like, I mean, can the national and now international jokes stop, please? Can they just stop, please?
Please make it stop.
Please make it stop. But right. But no.
So quit asking.
So it happened, and Dwayne Stukes was asked about it by our intrepid reporter, D-Mac. And I thought it was a great question. And as you'll hear, I like the fact that D-Mac did not back down and continued on with his line of questioning. Here was Dwayne Stukes, and I'm fascinated to get your response to this after.
Is this where accountability comes into play, though?
Accountability for who?
For mistakes like that. There has to be some sense of it, I would assume.
I mean, you address the players, and what are you going to do after that, though? You're going to say you're not going to play next week if they're a core special teams player? I mean, you tell them what you want. You expect them to be there, especially since we practice, and he was out there at practice. Now he has to be out there on kickoff. There is nothing I can do. I can go there and grab all 11 guys individually. Hey, it's you out there. You're out there. But at some point, they got to realize what phase we're on and know that they're on that phase and be out there.
You okay with that one, Sting?
Well, I am okay with it's right. It's your responsibility. So I'm okay with the fact that, hey, man, this is your responsibility. You guys have to own this stuff. But at the same time, for Dwayne Stukes or anybody else, there does have to be some consequences. And, I get that you can't, maybe you can't, take a guy, a core special teams player off your special teams, but then how do you, how do you get a guy to show up? How do you get a guy to take his responsibility seriously? How do you get a guy to pay attention? Like, if they're not paying attention, and I always say this, the only way to get to a player is to take away recess. If you're unwilling to take away recess and give somebody else an opportunity, then, if the same type of mistakes and the same unacceptable things happen, like at what point do you take away playing time? At what point do you give it to somebody else? I don't know any other way to do it, Mike. And maybe I'm on crazy pills, but I just that's just kind of the way I look at it.
Well, the worst part of that answer was when you said, well, what do you expect me to do? I expect you to bench a guy, and don't give me this bit that, well, he's a core special teamer. I don't care. Find somebody else.
Right.
Coach somebody else up. And you know what? I think you make more of a statement. You gain more credibility. You go a lot further in building a culture if you take a core special teams guy and sit him down and say it's not acceptable, even if it means in the short term that maybe your special teams play does suffer a bit.
Right. Listen, you're not going to get any argument with me. Of course, I grew up in the National Football League where you didn't have a 1-800 line to call if a coach yells at you, and things of that nature. So, maybe I'm just a jerk or whatever. Maybe I'm the Richard Nine, but I mean, I don't know. You don't perform. Like, this does not sound, this is not that hard to me. If you don't perform, you don't get to play. That doesn't sound too harsh, Mike. That doesn't sound unfair to me. You don't perform, you don't play. It seems like that seems pretty basic standard, does it not?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yes, it does.
So, I can't bench a guy? Why? Why can't you bench a guy?
Man, I can't wait for you to get in the building next week. I cannot wait for you to get in the building next week. This thing needs to be fumigated. You need to go in there full Ghostbusters attire, man. Jeez. As one texter astutely puts it, what do you mean, can the jokes stop, please? They're the jokes. They're the reason why the jokes are coming. They are the reason because they're the jokes. Can they stop, please?
Right.
That's a great point. That's a great point. 100%. Can they stop, please?
Can you guys please? I mean, please.
That's right.
For the love of Pete.
Can we have an incident-free week? Really, it's like the sign at work, you know, where it says there have been 365 days since the last accident. We get to like six and then we have to start over again.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Do it.
Jeez. Yeah. Since this dumpster fire, you know, I mean, that's where we are right now.
Oh, my goodness.
365 days since this dumpster fire has been ignited. Yeah,
You're getting ready to leave. So before we let you go, give us your quick summary prediction for the Titans game.
I think this is going to be the same type of game we've been watching. A little bit of the frustration, tough, tight game. It'll be a low scoring game. And I just don't know, honestly, I don't believe that we're going to hold up front against the Tennessee Titans defensive front four, front seven. I just think they're a physical football team. I think they'll run it. I think they'll shrink this game. There'll be very few possessions. I think in the end, they're going to win a tight one.
Okay. All right. We shall see. Have a safe trip around Pittsburgh this weekend. We'll be following you on Twitter. Send out some pictures. And as one texter just put it on an Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me or every time Stink talks about mowing the practice field, I imagine him wearing a Bubba Gump hat on an old snapper mower like Forrest Gump.
I would love that. But no, I was on the big equipment.
Yeah, you like the big stuff.
I was on the big boy equipment.
Yeah, you like the big boy stuff. All right, Mark, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. All right, there he goes. Mark Schlereth out the door. Nate Jackson coming in just in time to tell us what's trending next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
LaVisca Chenault motions behind the formation. He catches the screen. Chenault's got the 40, 35-30, accelerating down the sideline. See you later. Touchdown, LaVisca Chenault.
Hey, I remember that guy. Way to go, Buffs. Representing the Buffs. Nate Jackson sitting in for Mark, who had to bug out a little bit early as he's in Pittsburgh getting ready to go over to the Steelers facility, calling Pittsburgh and New Orleans this weekend. So good morning, Nate. Thank you.
Good morning. Happy to be here with you.
Thursday night football was dreary. Just another bad night of football. But it was Carolina and Atlanta. Carolina got the win. But the story that I wanted to ask you about, did you see Baker Mayfield, who's a backup now, but did you see him late in the game celebrating with teammates as they came off the field headbutting them? Now, you may say, what's the story there? Guys headbutt each other all the time in the NFL. Not when they're not wearing a helmet. They don't. Baker did not have a helmet, and he was flat out headbutting guys who were wearing helmets. Have you ever seen that before?
This morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
I've seen it. I saw it when I was in high school. There was an opposing coach on the other side who got really excited, headbutted his guy, split his head open, and the blood was coming down his face. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Sometimes you forget that you don't have a helmet on, or maybe he just wants to prove that he's tough. He's ready to go.
Wouldn't that be funny if he ends up in the concussion protocol this week?
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't be surprised, though. They have those spotters. They probably saw that. They're like, get out of here. I guess I can't go in, guys.
I think you need a different kind of doctor for that kind of behavior.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, there is trouble in Packerland. Boy, sometimes you wonder, maybe the best deals you make are the ones you don't make. As much as we've been grousing about Russell Wilson, would it have been different with Aaron Rodgers? So apparently, in the midst of this long losing streak that the Packers are in, that players are upset and there's growing discord with the way that Rodgers continues to throw guys under the bus. Quote, that some of the young wide receivers have been painted as scapegoats. It, quote, isn't sitting well with some, given the league's reigning MVP was absent during OTAs.
Relax.
Yeah. Nate, as much as the Russell Wilson experience has not been a hit yet, are you glad that it's Russ here and not Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I am. I think that Aaron Rodgers' act is wearing a bit thin. I think that it's not a surprise that that's happening in Green Bay. When a guy is talking about how his receivers need to catch the ball, they need to get on the same page, they need to get in the playbook, and this guy did not even show up to the mini camps and the OTAs that allow you to fortify those connections and to connect with those young receivers who need guidance from a back-to-back MVP. Who better to help them understand that and connect the dots between, you know, the concepts of the offense and the actual on-field performance of it than you, Aaron Rodgers, and you didn't show up, and now you're going to throw him under the bus.
But why do these veteran quarterbacks, elite quarterbacks, get so grumpy late in their career? Why do they not tolerate fools? Why is it that, you know, Peyton's leaving notes in wide receiver's locker? Tom Brady famously would just freeze a guy out.
Yeah.
And now the same thing going on with Aaron Rodgers. What's with these guys?
I think some of it is good because they have high expectations. They know how to get it done. They demand excellence, and that's a good thing. But we've been gassing these dudes up day in and day out, especially over the last 3 or 4 years. The quarterback is more important than ever, more valuable than ever. He deserves 20% of the salary cap. And by the way, he's going to have a 15-year career. The other guys, the guys he's thrown under the bus, 2 years and out, 3 years and out, 4 years and out. You got to find a way to connect with those guys because you need them.
Well, has the Manning cast lost some of its juice? Ratings for the Manning cast are down this year. After averaging about close to 2 million viewers per week, they are averaging a shade over 1 million viewers per week. So has the Manning cast lost some of its appeal?
Yeah, I think so. It's a little too niche. You know, it's like you're only
so
seeing...
You say niche. I always say niche.
I always say niche, but then people say niche.
No,
I'm like, I guess I gotta go do niche.
Niche is like, whenever I hear niche, I'm just like, who are you? It's not niche, it's niche.
How do you spell it?
N-I-C-H-E. Niche.
Niche?
What about quiche?
Quiche, niche.
You said kitsch?
No. I'm going to slice that kitsch. No, what? Man, I think with Manning cast...
Is that kitsch has sausage in it?
Yeah. My mom made kitsch one time for dinner, and my brother hated it so bad that he ran away from home.
Come on!
He was eight, and he packed his pillowcase and made it to the corner. But that's how much he hated kitsch, or quiche. He's like, I'm out of here, Mom. I cannot do this.
Wow.
The Manning cast,
yeah.
It is very niche because you either really want to know the nuts and bolts of the GOAT's thought process, or you want to watch a football game and see other things unfold and think about other ways to watch a game. And I think, you know, some people really, really love only the quarterback's perspective. Some people want to see the big picture, want to watch the game, and not actually be listening to interviews at the same time.
I don't think it's really their fault, Peyton and Eli's fault. I think you're seeing some other factors play in. One, the schedule, the games haven't been that great.
Yeah.
So that hurts. The other thing too is Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are really good.
Yeah.
And they're very popular. And it may just be that more people are deciding just to watch those two.
Right.
Where ordinarily they would not, and they would have watched Peyton and Eli instead. But
what do you watch?
I watch Joe and Troy.
Yeah.
I like the way they do their broadcast. I like Troy. I like them. But I'll flip over sometimes just to see what Peyton and Eli are talking about. And anytime I'm over there, I really, it's not like I'm like, ugh, God, this is boring. Let me get back to Joe and Troy. I enjoy each broadcast, but if I had to choose, I'd rather stay with Joe and Troy, and it sounds like I'm not alone. Speaking of ratings, the World Series ratings are in, and if you're a Seamhead, not good. It is the second lowest watched World Series ever.
Wow.
And I liked it. I watched a lot of it. I thought it was good theater. I enjoyed, but they got me. Baseball's got me, right? They don't have to worry about me. They got me. But I would hope, and I'm glad that they're making moves to try to energize the game. And I know some of the old school baseball people don't like some of the things that they're looking to do, but boy, it is time. They have got to find a way to speed up the game, and they got to find a way to get more balls into play. There's got to be more action. Everything's either a strikeout or
a jack.
We got to have more in between.
I know this probably wouldn't fit the bill as far as that suggestion, but should they let the steroids back in?
Oh, wow. The problem isn't that guys aren't hitting home runs. Yeah. Guys are still hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Guys are still hitting bombs for home runs. So that's not the issue. The problem is that every pitcher's throwing 99. And there's too many strikeouts.
There's no fundamental hitters. They're trying to hit.
There's
home
no
runs,
action.
Right?
The balls aren't in play. There aren't a lot of guys on bases. There's not a lot of movement. There's not action.
There's no Tony Gwynn's out there.
We need action. And hopefully these low TV ratings will help inspire more of them. All right, that is what is trending. Is it just me Friday where we give you a chance to get some of your hot sports takes off your chest? We'll get to some of those. Also, we're talking about Dwayne Stukes and his response to, we went from wristband gate to hot dog gate. It wasn't really a hot dog, but hey, you know, these are the Broncos. They always have colorful controversies. We got Nate's reaction to Hot Dog Gate next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
We had a guy on the sideline eating a hot dog, I guess. He didn't go out there, so we had 10 guys out there, and I obviously had to address him on the sideline, and we got that taken care of. It was a transition from field goal straight to the kickoff. We didn't have a chance to huddle. Generally, we huddle on the sideline, and we count to make sure we have 11 guys. But obviously, field goal to transition on the field was a little bit more difficult. Not going to say any names, but he knows he was supposed to be out there. Going forth, we made an emphasis of everybody, all 11 guys being out there.
Happy Friday, everybody. Is it just me Friday? We'll get to some of the best of the Is It Just Me's on the text line. Nate Jackson in for Stinko had to leave early to go over to the Pittsburgh Steelers facility, start his prep work. He'll be calling Steelers and Saints this weekend for Fox. I think it speaks volumes, Nate, about how wacky this Broncos season has been, how there have been so many are you kidding me type moments and statements that when Dwayne Stukes came out yesterday and said, he was over there having a hot dog, there were people in the immediate aftermath who thought somebody missed the kickoff because he was literally eating a hot dog.
Yeah.
Now, it was more of a figurative thing than a literal thing, but still.
The bar has been lowered.
The bar's been lowered to a point where it's like,
Oh, he
was eating a hot dog. Ugh. Classic Broncos. Oh, those crazy Broncos. What was your reaction to? Well, actually, before you start with that, I do want, because there was a follow-up question by our very own DMAC about what happened to the delay right after the kickoff and the accountability. Here's how that exchange went.
Is this where accountability comes into play, though?
Accountability for who?
For mistakes like that. There has to be some sense of it, I would assume.
I mean, you address the players, and what are you going to do after that, though? You're going to say you're not going to play next week if they're a core special teams player? I mean, you tell them what you want. You expect them to be there, especially since we practice, and he was out there at practice. Now he has to be out there on kickoff. There is nothing I can do. I can go there and grab all 11 guys individually. Hey, it's you out there. You're out there. But at some point, they got to realize what phase we're on and know that they're on that phase and be out there.
Little Iverson came into that.
Yeah,
practice. This is the first time you had a chance to react to it because this came down after your show. So
it is.
What do you think of all of it?
So first of all, I love D-Mac just poking the bear. He just loves just to get in
it's
there.
It's a good, but you know what? I had some people. I had some people saying you're going to roast D-Mac for that. I'm like, no, I do not need an invitation to go and roast D-Mac. I thought it was a great question because we're all wondering how it happened. You've got the announcers on the broadcast going, huh, never seen that happen before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like answers. Thank you.
Yeah, so appreciate the question from DMAC, because then we got that answer. And you might be surprised to hear that. I don't have a problem with Stoops' answer just because it was one mistake made by a player. So do you really want to sit him down? And I hear people saying you got to sit him down, send a message, maybe cut the guy. You know, and I heard Mark saying, yeah, it's the Emmitt Smith thing. You know, you nudge him if Emmitt Smith is sleeping, but you cut the guy if the backup is sleeping. If he's a core special teamer and he makes one mistake, you don't take him off all the way. You embarrass him in front of the team, absolutely. You stand up there as a coach, Nathaniel Hackett has to, and tell him that that's not acceptable, and what are you thinking, and do your thing there. Make him feel very small in front of his teammates, and then see if he does it again. Look, it's a delay of game penalty. Did it cost him the game? No. Is it another embarrassing moment for this Broncos training staff or coaching staff? Yes, but players do make mistakes. So are you going to sit down a player if he commits a penalty?
Say that.
Yeah.
If you're Dwayne Stoops, say all that, and then we're good. But the problem here is that he comes out and says, well, what would you have me do? What do you expect me to do? It's like he doesn't have answers. He's like,
he's like
the frustrated parent who just kind of throws his hands up like, I've had enough. What can I do?
I think he's just being rhetorical to DMAC. Like, come on, smart guy. What do you want me to do? What are you saying? What do you think I should do? You think I should bench him? Should I fire everybody? We need to field the team out there. This is a guy we trust. He made a mistake. We believe in him. He's on our team. If we invest this much time in him and put him out there every single day, we believe in you, man. You make one mistake, I'm not going to cut you. If you continue to make boneheaded mistakes, I will.
But this is a coaching staff. If this was an established coaching staff and had pelts on the wall, that answers, yeah, go ahead, give it back to the smart-ass muggle. I love it.
Right.
But this is what we've been hearing all year long from this staff, and all it does is it just sort of erodes and weakens the credibility they have, the trust that we have that this is the right staff to turn this thing around. Because what it does is it comes across as, I don't know, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
The inmates are running the asylum, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, the special teams coaches are notoriously not very media savvy, right? They're like kind of piss and vinegar type of dudes.
They do give some of the best quotes, I will say that.
They do, yeah. But and you imagine being in a meeting run by Coach Stoops when there are no media members around.
Oh.
Imagine the names he called DMAC, you know, right. Or is going to today, right, in front of his guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's a level of grittiness to those guys, a level of screw what they think. You know, we're not offense, we're not defense, we're special teams. We got to stick together. It doesn't matter what they think. I know the guys I have in this room. I believe, and we're hearing it's Kendall Hinton, right? Is that the word? So Kendall Hinton is a guy who is probably pretty beloved in that locker room. A guy who's done everything this team has asked him to do. A guy who played quarterback for this team, right? So a guy who laid
Hall of Famer, Kendall Hinton.
Hall of Famer, right? So Hall of Famer, Kendall Hinton makes one mistake, and it really doesn't cost you. It's an embarrassing, weird mistake that makes people say, this ship is not running very well, but it didn't cost you the game. It backed you up 5 yards on a kickoff. Right? So it was stupid. Don't ever let that happen again. And Kendall's saying as much. My bad, coach. I don't know what, you know, blah, blah, blah. He could have been getting taped up. He could have had his helmet in the hand of a trainer who's fixing his chin strap. He could have, you know, been whatever.
See, you're giving a nice, well thought out, measured, pragmatic answer that makes a lot of sense. But we live in a world of optics. And how things sound, what they look like, how they come across. And when you're up there with a staff that's already beleaguered and you're saying, what do you want me to do? Go and drag every one of them by their hand over to get them on the field?
Wasn't that just sort of conversational,
it just sort of
ball busting? And by the way, you're looking at DMAC. You got DMAC trying to nail you to the wall over it. He asked him the question, he answered it, and then he's like, but what about accountability, coach? So when he already answered your question, and then DMAC comes back at
Kitch.
Coach. That's how he says coach. So of course, like there's the personality issue of the moment where DMAC kind of knows how to press those buttons. It feels like.
Okay. All right. So you got that. It's been a wild week. We got hot dogs. We got wristband gate. But I'll tell you what, the wristband stuff, as much as it started out all about Petty Pete Carroll, and then Russ's response, it became a thing, and it was kind of like an eye rolling. Really, this is where we're at. But after listening to the coaches yesterday, after listening to Nathaniel Hackett, after listening to Justin Outen, it's clear to me that this is something that the coaches want and have wanted for some time, and have probably suggested for some time. Listen to Hackett, just a kind of a stream of consciousness here, him talking about the benefits of having your quarterback wear a wristband.
There's a couple different things. I mean, as a play designer, sometimes you want to get a little creative, and those things can get a little bit verbose. So you don't you want to have it so it's easier instead of having to call it and then communicate it. There's a whole process from when I give it to him to when he has to process it to when he's got to go in there.
Get going. There's some more.
I think it also helps with crowd noise. If you have crowd noise going from him listening to me, he just has to hear one wristband number, and then he can go in there and communicate to the guys properly. So, like we've said from the very beginning, we've been looking at everything and kind of thinking of anything we can do to help our process, help our offense, do whatever we have to do, whether that's going to be reason why we win or lose a game. Looking back at the Jacksonville game, I don't know, but we just always want to evaluate everything.
Sounds to me like a guy who really believes in it.
Yeah.
Sees the value in it. Was able right there to rattle off all the benefits that come with having your quarterback wear it. So am I going too far out speculating that this is something that Hackett and Justin Outen and the offensive staff has wanted for some time, that they've probably even suggested and have been rebuffed at every turn up until now?
It's possible. It's possible, but it's a good sign that now he's wearing it, right? And if Pete Carroll was being honest about resistance in the past, maybe Nathaniel Hackett's getting somewhere with Russell that Pete Carroll was never able to get. You know, maybe he's able to get through to him. It is concerning, though, that Russell wouldn't be open to it right off the bat because of the complexity of the offense, the fact that they're collaborating on a new offense. Okay, this is Hackett's offense plus what Russ likes equals our new offense. And so you're writing it for the first time. You're teaching it for the first time. And you are actually coaching it for the first time. So some of these rules that he probably has hung his hat on as a coach forever have been tweaked a little bit to accommodate the Hall of Famer quarterback who likes it a little differently. So having it on your wristband is probably helpful for everyone. The verbosity of it, he talked about. Yes, they're incredibly verbose, really long-winded stuff. And if you are, as a coach, given that play start to finish in the walkie-talkie there or whatever, and the quarterback is hearing it, there's a good chance that he forgets elements of it along the way because it is so long, because it is about the formation, the shift, the pre-snap shift, okay, to see where their defense is, and then the motion, and then the protection, and then the play action, and then it's just very wordy. So the ability to just say, instead of a long, long wordy play, just play 21. And then you can look, that saves you 20 seconds. It also saves you the possibility that you forgot elements of the play and hit it backwards or forgot a motion or something like that, which screws up the whole play. So you have it right there, and it gives you more time to think about other things, to step to the line of scrimmage a little earlier, to look at the defense and what they're doing, and not just be worrying about your guys because you're running up to the line of scrimmage with 6 seconds left on the play clock. And other guys have said this as well. If I just say play 21 to you, then I can say, watch for the two safety look here, and they might come down and shift, you know, last minute, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Because Hackett can be in your ear.
Right.
Right up until 15 seconds left on the play clock.
Right.
Then it shuts off.
But that's also maybe a reason why Russell Wilson doesn't want it, because he doesn't want to hear his coach telling him what he should look for before a play starts, because sometimes that can screw you up. And a lot of times young quarterbacks, and Russell isn't a young quarterback, but when you get in their ear too much and you tell them what to look for, they don't see the obvious thing that's in front of their face because they're looking for the thing you told them to look for. And football requires, if you're going to be clicking on all cylinders as a quarterback, you to see the entire field. You watch Tom Brady step to the line of scrimmage. He sees the entire field, and he's not worried about his play. He's looking at the defense. What are they giving me? Because there's an answer on our play to whatever you do. Which brings me to the Justin, I don't know if we're going to get into this, but the Justin Outen comments yesterday concerned me more than Coach Stoops when he talked about third down and how they have to reconceptualize the way they draw up third down plays to account for man and zone possibilities.
Do you have that one, Fever? All right, go ahead, play that.
I think conceptually we have to be a little bit smarter as far as, you know, looking around the league, you're seeing a lot more zone coverage instead of man coverage. Taking advantage of those situations, have conceptual variety where you can have a man beater and a zone beater at the same time. And, you know, the first and second down portion has a lot to do with that.
So the school of football that I'm from, every single pass play can beat man or zone. Okay, so there's an answer. There's a man or zone answer on every play. And so if you're calling a play that's specifically just a man beater, what are you doing? Because obviously it's going to be either man or zone. It's one or the other. And every pass play you can put out there has to have an answer to both. And I heard Mark talking about it's one side versus the other, or even just more simply. And this goes back to some stuff that Dan Orlovsky was saying a couple days ago about how they're running a high school offense and they can't even do that. High school offenses, simplifying that and making it a derogatory statement to me is a mistake. The easy stuff works because it can beat both man and zone. You want to run double slants? Do it. It can beat both man and zone. It just looks different the way you run the route. The man slant is different than a zone slant, but they both work. And if it's zone, you look at a different spot. If it's man, you look at a different spot. But every pass play you have out there can beat both man and zone. And so I think that ultimately this is a quarterback who has an incredibly large ego, some of it justified because of the success he's had, and a coach who hasn't known how to get through to him and get him to play his style of football yet. And maybe the wristband coming on Russell's wrist is a sign that it's moving in the right direction.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.